Our Father in heaven, we do desire that our hearts would reflect what we have sung. Father, a life and heart of gratitude and praise, eyes that see and understand who you are and what you have done. Father, do be with us today, beginning in this hour as our brother comes to speak, and then in the next as he will preach your word. Father, we pray that we would have a wonderful sense of the nearness and help of the Spirit of God, both in the giving and in the receiving of the word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It's a privilege to welcome our brother Sidney Kombe. He's been with us before when we pray for Zambia, and we pray for church planters, and we pray for Francis and Marshalls. And Mondesters, we also pray for Sidney regularly. And for those of you who don't know the family connection, Sidney's a brother-in-law of our sister Steph McDearman, and husband of our beloved Kat, who was here for a number of years, and now the mother of three, a pastor's wife, and thankful Belkies are able to be here as well today. So, brother, welcome, and as you come and give this report.
Well, I bring the greetings from Zambia, Emmanuel Baptist Church, and allow me to extend my gratitude to Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville for granting me this privilege to stand once again before you and to bring the report of what the Lord is doing in Zambia. And again, thank you for your consistent prayers for us. And we are grateful to God that you continue to uphold us before his throne. And even as I shall be sharing with you, these are some of the things that the Lord God continue doing amidst us. We pray that it will be of great pleasure to him that he sustains us in ministry for the salvation of souls. So Emmanuel Baptist Church, last time I came here, I did mention that it started way back in 1995. And the church still exists. It has seen three pastors, and I'm the third pastor at that same church. And the whole reason of our existence in Mpika is all summed up at that bottom statement from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. We preach Christ and him crucified. And in my report, the way Proverbs puts it across, that's the way to be presented to you. We plan, but the Lord is the one who directs and establishes our steps. No matter how feeble our attempts are, yeah, pray that it's for his glory. So I'll just give us some few church encouragements. I'll just run down through certain things that we as a church have been involved in and are grateful to God for. One of the things is Christian maturity is what we have noticed through the years of our ministry at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And we've also seen church growth in terms of membership. We have lost over 40 members, not that they have gone to glory, but that they keep on transferring from our place. They go other places, but the members that are there, they are about 33. And on a good Sunday, we have an average attendance of 80, but on a bad Sunday, about 40. And then we have the Bemba service, which just got started recently. The highest number we have had is about 15, and the lowest is about 7. But in all of these, we do have three services every Sunday. We start with Bemba service at 8:30, then followed by an English service at 10:15, and then another English service at 13 hours. We try to keep the church members, you know, around the church premise because they come from, you know, far places, and we can't afford allowing them to go and then come back for the evening service. So we'd rather have them with us until the day of worship is done. EBC has been involved in outreach from within Mpika, and we've been doing a bit of outreach in a place called Chinsali, about 230 kilometers from Mpika. But we've also been involved in the work in Tanzania, of which I'll come and show some few pictures. The other thing that we are grateful to God for is leadership. Throughout the 6 years of my service there, I was the only pastor and about two deacons. But by God's grace, in 2018, the close of 2018, we inducted two men to the office of eldership. So I'm no longer just the only elder. I have two extra men that I'm working hand in hand with, and I'll show the pictures of the same, and we have one deacon. We have started student outreach. We don't have many tertiary institutions, but there's one place where we have about five institutions within one place. We're trying to reach out to the same students so that through some few students that we receive at church, we can have access to other students at this learning institution. And the other thing is the farm development. And the reason why this is very important to us is Mpika is a rural area. We don't have industry. We do not have men who are able to contribute to the sustenance of the work. That's by monetary means. So as a church, we have ventured into farming. We want to generate some resources from there to sustain, the work as we carry on. The other thing that you will see is children evangelism. Mpika is primarily filled with a number of churches, and the predominant church there is Roman Catholic, and it has taken quite a number of people. We have about 150 people in 150,000 people in Mpika, but of course all scattered across. But Roman Catholic has basically taken most of the people in this small town in the village. And then there's Jehovah's Witnesses as well. And for Baptist churches like our Reformed Baptist Church, we don't really have, so many people that come to us. So the older people, the couples are in like United Church of Zambia churches like that. So what we have done is we're trying to infiltrate the homes of the parents through children evangelism. So I'll come and show us like the second last point, literacy. We have literacy class, but also we have started the OVC, which is the Orphan and Vulnerable Children Ministry. So we want to focus more on the children, that through them we can eventually have access to their parents. And the last point, Islam. I wonder if I did report last time in 2016 when I was here that just some few blocks down our road, Muslims came and they put up a mosque, and they started reaching out to the villagers trying to convince them that the Bible and the Quran are the same thing and we worship the same God, basically trying to confuse them. And they ventured on a program of extending alms to them, because that's what they do. But on their meeting days, they would invite the villagers and then give them 150 kwacha, about $15, and provide some food and some clothing, and then they would attend their meetings. And they did that for some months. But the moment they stopped doing that, all the people, the villagers that came, they all left. And they've been telling them that we can't associate with Islam because we know what Boko Haram is doing in Nigeria. I wonder if many of us know what Boko Haram is. It is a terrorist, group that has been terrorizing the areas in Nigeria. So that's just a rundown of things. Through 2016, from 2016 through 2019, we received the total number of addition to membership of 11 individuals. Again, like I said, it's a village, and it's not easy to bring the people, in. And we thank God for these souls. Others came through the waters of baptism, and others came through, the confession. So there were members in other churches, and then they moved over to our church. So those are the men and women that we received. And evangelism, trying to reach out to the couples around our place. And this was last year in June when we had the couples outreach. And these are from, you know, the surrounding areas. So just some few men and women who showed up for the same meeting. I mentioned about children evangelism or outreach. These are just some of the few captions. The picture on your right, I'm seeing it like backwards since I'm facing this way. Yeah, that was one of the celebrations we had. In fact, one of many Christmas celebrations we have in December. I mean, in Zambia, Christmas is a big thing. Though we don't decorate and have lights or shine across because of load shedding, we do have at times, you know, celebrate Christmas within the confines of our church. On the top left, that was one of the outreaches that we had with the children. We are taking them to, you know, some Catholic-run school where they have a stream and they were enjoying their time there. But that's after the word of God was proclaimed. The bottom picture, that's what you'd call here VBS. We call it, you know, that side as Holiday Bible Club. We saw about 150 kids in attendance. And we continue to pray that in the 5 days of their coming and hearing the word of God proclaimed to them, that the Lord would save some from among them. And when we do make follow-ups, it's through the children that we're able to, you know, to have access to their parents. And if there's a thing that you need to continue praying for us is, you know, just the expansion of this children outreach, and that through them we can have access to the parents. On the top, that's the young people's meeting. We have divided our young people. There is a junior Sunday school and the senior Sunday school. By junior, we mean, it's not like here when you call Sunday school. Sunday school for us is the children. Yeah, so from age 3, especially from maybe grade 1, if I can put it in terms of grades, grade 1 up to grade 7, those go for junior Sunday school. And then from 7 up to high school, those are senior Sunday school. So like the picture you're seeing where it's labeled YP meeting, those are the senior Sunday school, you know, children. The one I showed you earlier, those were the junior ones. But on your bottom right, that was an outreach which we had with the senior Sunday school kids. And we haven't recorded any of them, like haven't come and joined our church, but the word of God was proclaimed to them. And we pray that their souls will be saved by God's grace. Let me extend our thanks to RBCL. That this picture you are seeing got birth because of your support. We had received a blessing from this, your church, and the brother who helped us in that regard said, use it as you wish. So we had to come back to him and ask, can we? Because this is what we desire to do. We wanted to start the OVC ministry. And he said, please go right ahead. And the reason why we have started OVC is it's really expensive for those, the families that are not well-to-do to send their children to school. So as our church, we thought of trying to establish something that we can use to help the families and send the children to school. So we started with about 17 children in 2018. And the picture you are seeing on your top right, those are the supplies that we bought them from shoes, from uniforms and pencils and everything, just to help them go to school. And you can see the picture at the bottom. The kids are very happy and so thankful. And of course, some of these children come to our church. Some of them don't, but what we have emphasized to them is they need to be at every single meeting at church. We are using this also as an evangelistic platform, reaching out, you know, to the kids. So they do attend literacy class, which runs on Saturday. It's required that they come. It is also required of them to attend Sunday school at church. And because we are helping them in that regard, they are also attending Sunday school. And it is our prayer, like I've mentioned already, that the Lord would save some of these very children. So I just received an update that because we started with 17 in 2018, in 2019 the children went up to 21. But as of last year into this year, the numbers have gone up to 26. So we are helping about 26 families in with regards to school. It is our prayer that with these endeavors, EBC might establish Christian school. Literacy class is run on a very voluntary basis. It is also run, we don't charge those children who come and be taught by our staff at church. So we've been thinking that through literacy class, and obviously that can translate into having a Christian school, that the biblical worldview can be built around children as they go through school. Leadership. I mentioned that I was the sole elder from the time I went over to Mpika. But as of the close of 2018, we ordained two men, Mr. Masanzi and Mr. Mlenga. I'll show the pictures later. But what we have done is we're trying as much as we can to develop the biblical leadership within our church. And in so doing, we have started running an annual church conference. Under this annual church conference, our focus is to bring in as many people as possible, but our focus is to speak about church leadership and churchmanship and all that which revolve around church and what makes church, you know, be identified as the body of Christ and what kind of men qualify to lead the church of Christ. And of course, there are some other diverse topics that we do try to bring forth during this annual church conference. This just got started in 2018 with the induction of our leaders. And so from there forward, we pray that it might flourish and that the Lord will receive the glory ultimately. But the other platform which we have been using is, you know, leadership seminars. These seminars are not just tailored focusing at leaders, but we've opened it all up to the church membership. They can come and sit in as well, that they know what leadership is. Should one of them desire to take up that position of leadership, they will know exactly what's expected of them. I run what I call Preacher's Corner, try to teach expository preaching to the men, but also just the church at large, so that they can hold leaders accountable when we stand and proclaim the word of God. The other thing I tend to love to use is to delegate responsibility to assess how men fairly in regards their growth in service to Christ. And we pray that these will go just fine. And if you can see the bottom picture, that's just an example of men that come for these leadership meetings. Those are the leaders there. The one in a black jacket, that's Mr. Masanzi, who was training to become a priest. And by God's grace, he was saved. And he is so thirsty for the truth of God and one of the faithful brothers that we are blessed with at church. And then the man in the middle, between myself and the one at the end, that's Mr. Mlenga in a brown jacket. That's the other elder. And the gentleman at the far end, that's the deacon, Deacon Mambwe. And that's just the leaders and their wives. Regarding church plant, one of the things that we have been trying as much as we can at EBC is to have our lives surrounded by the idea of evangelism. And we do that. The evangelism is done daily. And by daily, I mean it's not a church program that we go out and evangelize. But we encourage that every single member of the church should take evangelism as something cardinal, close to the heart of God. So they need to evangelize their homes. They need to evangelize the neighbors. But at a church level, we do the monthly evangelism. And we take advantage of holidays. We come up with certain themes and we run with the theme to reach out to the community. Chinsali is one of the places I alluded to in my opening remarks. It's a place about 230 kilometers away from Mpika. This gentleman in glasses, he works for the power utility company. And he's been in Chinsali for quite a number of years. And he didn't find a Reformed Baptist church there. But he ended up contacting us and he called on us to go and just survey the area, and of which, you know, myself, I was taking the picture, and one, I'm not in the picture, but those other three men went with me and we were just surveying the area. The area is really fruitful and ripe for work. It's just that we are somewhat limited in terms of capacity. We can't send any man to go and do any work there. But what we devised was we would come up with a plan, draw a rota that we send men one after the other to just go and run, you know, some of the outreach works, and in view of establishing some work there. So this was more like a fact-finding mission which we took, and this our brother, Mr. Mwandila, actually has procured a piece of land. Even before the church is established, the piece of land, you know, measuring 60 by 70 meters, and he used his own resources and is not even asking for a refund. But he said this would be, you know, for the work of the Lord. And what we are seeing is at this stage, the work in Chinsali is at the grassroots level. Nothing concrete has been done yet, but are still planning and strategizing. One of the things that we've been requesting for even from our sending church is an intern. If we can have an intern sent over, he can be the man we use to establish the work that side. The outreach in Tanzania, this I was involved in between 2016 and 2017. The man at the bottom in a white t-shirt, smiling, he used to be a Muslim. The Lord saved him. And he embraced the doctrines of grace. He came to Lusaka and he did 6 months of internship with Pastor Conrad Mbewe. And when he was sent back to Tanzania, he just could not hold it. He started reaching out to men and explaining to them just the beauty of the Reformed faith. So the men and women you are seeing in those two pictures, they are the men that he reached out to. Some of those are church leaders. And others are just church members in Pentecostal churches and others. So he organized a conference. And I was one who was preaching during these two conferences that, you know, that were held. But this, our brother, he is now ordained as a pastor under Lusaka Baptist Church. Though this was done in a place called Sumbawanga in Tanzania. However, with the council of the elders, they said he needed to start from the big city and then come out into the smaller rural area. So right now, this gentleman is in Dodoma, the capital of Tanzania. So my earnest plea even to us here is we continue upholding this work in Sumbawanga. The man who started this work is not there anymore. And we wouldn't love to see that this work suffer and eventually die. On the building project, yes, we've been doing a very small project or projects recently. This you are seeing is the ablution block, which I understand you call bathrooms. And I was like, really? Well, that's an ablution. Should I use bathroom? Yeah. That's. That's the bathroom under construction. We had a little thing at the back of our church property. I think Greg and Steph, I think Ian went there. We called it the City of Refuge. So what we've done is we want to put up something decent, you know, that the City of Refuge. That's the old faithful. Now we can try to utilize this newly constructed ablution block. This also, we owe our thanks to RBCL. I think the help that we received should be 2018. That's what has helped us to put up that. It's still under construction, though. But most of the work is done, and we just await, finishing off. But we still would want to put up a wall fence around our premise, finishing this very ablution block or the bathroom. But also, we have the caretaker at the church premise. Now, this gentleman lives in a room which is supposed to be used as a reception. So he stays there with his wife and a kid. And the church kitchen, farm piggery, and the parsonage plot. The church has procured a plot. In fact, we have this plot, and the council, the local authority, encroached on our plot, and what we have as a parsonage plot, it's a compensation for having encroached on our plot. So that is the full view of the church and the ablution block or the bathroom right there. The farm in 2018-2019 farming season, that's how the farm was looking like. On the top right, though, that's corn. We call it maize. And that sunflower at the bottom, that's soybeans. However, soybeans and sunflower did not do well, so we didn't even harvest much. But with corn, we did manage to harvest about 30 bags, the ones at the bottom. That's corn on stalks as they were nearing harvest. That's the caretaker's house at the church, at the farm. And at the bottom, those are bricks that have been molded, getting ready to build up the piggery. That's the venture we want to consider as a church. Those are the prospective pigs to procure. And most likely this very year, this program will definitely commence. So the reason for growing corn as well as sunflower as well as the soybeans is to process feed for the pigs. And again, this we owe our thanks to RBCL with your help and support. The motorbike, also thanks to RBCL. Yeah. That's the 2019-2020 farming season. So this is partly a 1 hectare of maize that was planted. And I'm sure by this time it's really grown. And by the 15th of January, they planted soybeans, sunflower. And we are yet to see the harvest that we shall receive. Just briefly about family. That's us on the top right before, these blessings were given to us. I love to say this. And when I was in seminary, one of my professors, the wife was pregnant, and eventually they received a blessing from God. So the professor comes, he was a theology professor, and he comes in and is like, "Brothers, I would invite you to join with me in celebrating the gift of life. The Lord has given us a sinner in our lives." What do you mean? So he was regarding the baby that was born to them, a sinner. He was trying to sound very theological and biblical. Psalm 51 verse 5 is clear. Yeah, so we have Eliana, Elela, and Ellery. Eliana means God has answered us. And this came as a result of our loss of a child. We were pregnant, and my wife was advanced, and then we lost the baby along the way. So we pleaded before the throne of God for his mercy. And he finally answered. No wonder, Eliana. And then we were blessed with Elela. I'm pretty sure you're able to see who Elela is. The one at the bottom right in a black shirt. Elela basically means the beauty of God. This we have seen the beauty of God. And LRA is the joy of the Lord. So it's when you mention those names, you are basically seeing the faithfulness of God as revealed in our lives. That's just the orchard which we planted when we moved over at we've moved over to our house. I remember last time I reported we had just procured the land, but now we are living there, but it's work in progress. I'm the one doing tiling in the house. I don't want the professional tailors to come and assess my work, though. I'm the one building the countertops. Never done carpentry before. Again, no professional should come and judge. That's how we lived when we moved in the house. We didn't have power for about a month and a half, but finally we do have. We have a little solar, panel that supplies power to us. And the bottom left, that's Katrine with Eliana doing laundry. So we stayed like that, and to some extent we still live like that because of the power shortages that Zambia is hit with. We go 15 hours without power every day. So you see the delicacies up there, those pots on the brazier. And Eliana also getting taught on how to be, strong. That's the house under construction, still work in progress. And in all of these, we can just rejoice. God has been faithful, to us. And what can we say? Yeah, we can just bring all the glory to God. Those are the prayer points that you can stand with us on. But I just want to zero in on the last one, praying for us as a family, that the Lord would strengthen us, that the Lord would keep us, healthy and safe. Rural ministry is not easy. You don't have access to, good medical facility, and I'm ever protective of the kids, that they don't hurt themselves, because we can't drive 11 hours to Lusaka to seek medical help. But also, just pray for us for more courage and safety. Zambia right now is undergoing some difficulties, not only economically, but also is a bit of political unrest as we are in the States. And as we go back, we'll be going into that. And next year, we are having elections, and it's just going to escalate even from there. So please do remember us in prayer. We are so grateful to God, for all you standing with us, as we journey on this side of eternity. I don't know if I do have time to take questions, if there is any. If there is any question, I'll gladly answer.
What about the elderly care? Not long ago, didn't tend to have a lot of elderly.
Yeah, no, the village itself, the village adjacent to the church building, there is quite a number of elderly people. And like I mentioned last time I was here, this, of course, is not the ideology of every family, but to a greater extent, there is a notion that when one gets old, they become witches. I don't know where that idea comes from. So the families don't want to associate with them. At times they just abandon them. There is apparently nothing supplied to them for their well-being. They just get deserted. Some that have good family ties, they carry on looking after their elderly. But for the most part, the elderly people are neglected somehow. So we are seeing that this can be an area of ministry for EBC. Reach out to them, before the Lord calls them, they would have heard the gospel all their time. So this is one of the things that you want to establish if the Lord, permits.
Yes, sir. I understand that, I want to say Tanzania, that's how we pronounce it, Tanzania. so the man there is now down in Lusaka? Or is he still in Tanzania?
All right. The man there is in Tanzania.
Okay.
He did his internship. He's done with his internship.
Okay.
He's already ordained as a missionary pastor under Lusaka Baptist Church. But where he started the work in Sumbawanga, he's not there anymore. He is in Dodoma. Dodoma is the capital city of Tanzania. So the work in Sumbawanga, which he started, doesn't have anyone. That's why I said we need to pray that the Lord raises, you know, a faithful man who can go and carry on with the work in Sumbawanga. Yes, sir.
Are there brothers in Zambia who preach in public, in the open air, and how is that received? Is there freedom for that work?
Yeah. Yeah, especially in Lusaka and like the big cities, I would say. Open air evangelism is done, yes. But of course, the rate has gone down. I don't know for some reason. But there are no restrictions whatsoever. If you want to do open-air evangelism or outreach, you have to just go and get the police permit. Then, I mean, the police would come and just be near you in case of anything. But preaching the gospel is not restricted. You can actually go, like the evangelism we do is at times door-to-door. At times we just go down the streets. Times we organize meetings and people would come to church. Others run crusades, you know, just organize a public open air, you know, meeting and people would come and, you know, the proclamation of God's word is done. Yeah, so we are not yet at that stage where we are restricted. We are pretty much free to proclaim the word of God. And there's also a notion that Zambia is a Christian nation, that was pronounced by one of the political leaders, and everyone runs with that idea that Zambians are Christians. So even when you go to evangelize, if you had to ask anyone if they are Christians, the answer would be an affirmative. Yes, I am. But when you begin to probe them further, that's when you realize, they realize that they really are not Christians. Now, the only safety for them would be, but that's not what my church says. The church says ABCD. And there is just this loyalty, which I basically call blind loyalty. Loyalty to churches. So you cannot switch churches even if what they preach is not very true. You have to remain there. But there are some that are brave enough who have left all that and they're in places where the truth of God is proclaimed faithfully. Yeah. Yes, sir?
The average church attendance on a Sunday, I was fascinated when we were there to see the numbers that walk. And so if you have 80, roughly how many people are coming on foot? Can you talk a little bit about how that impacts the day and then also a little bit about who the folks in the Bemba service are, how do they differ from in background and work from the English-speaking part
All right.
of the congregation?
Yeah. ABC, we have about 5 families that drive. In fact, before I answer that question, I was fascinated to see in the States that no one walks. I've been telling my father, you know, I'm like, really? Wherever we go, it's just vehicles back and forth. No one is walking. Yeah, Zambia, walking is the means of transport. And, yeah, the 80, that includes the children as well. But they walk, they come to church. And at times, if the 5 have come, those that have vehicles, we're able to ferry them back and forth, just drive them and drop them off. You know, in their respective places. It means they so much bearing on those with vehicles because they would come early but also leave late because they are taking them back and forth to their, you know, respective places. Yeah, so from the 80, I would say just 5 families have vehicles. That's one. And then regarding Bemba service, How is it different from the English service? Well, in many ways, the ladies and women, I mean, and men that attend Bemba service, some of them haven't really gone like further in their education. Others have received some level of education, but apprehension of English is not really there. So they feel more comfortable, you know, to be in a Bemba, you know, service setup. And over and above, some of those are able to read, others are not. So it means you have to really distill the message that it reaches their level. And I don't preach the same sermon from Bemba English, and there is always a sermon for the Bemba, you know, attendees, and also the other sermons for the English services. So all in all, Bemba, I would say Bemba is generally spoken by everyone, but it depends on which language one is comfortable with. So those who are comfortable with Bemba, they are the ones who attend Bemba service. And the reason why we started Bemba service was our church was called an English church, which was not good if we are in a rural setup. Even when we went out, you know, carrying out outreach, people would be like, nah, coming we would desire to, but we can't speak English. We don't understand English. So we kept on asking, if we started the Bemba work, will you be willing to come? And they were like, yes. So when we started, it was 1, 2, and the numbers kept on going up. Like I said, the highest we have had so far since 2018 is 15. And we pray that the Lord might bring in more, you know, to us. Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
The OBC ministry sounds very fruitful, and you have expressed the desire to create a Christian school.
Yes, sir.
What are the primary hindrances to that? Is it staffing or financial? Is it political that you have to have things in place? What keeps you from that?
All right. I think the major thing would be financial. The second thing would be, you know, staffing. The third thing would be making it legal, because the process, it might be a bit tedious. I mean, certain churches run Christian schools, but you have to apply. And I think we also need to have like men and women who qualify as teachers and a certain number who should be recommended when we make, you know, the submissions. We also need to see to it that the place itself is child-friendly, like even it's able to accommodate school. Our church building is quite big, and we have some few rooms like offices which we can supplement if school were to be started. But the land on which the church is right now is quite big. So what we desire when we reach that level is to most likely put up a structure, a temporal structure to start with. And then once we begin all those processes, we can have the children. I mean, the children are already there. So just those few things that I've mentioned, the reason why we can start it like right now.
Capacity.
Wow. That's a good question. because if Mpika has the population of 150,000 and each household has kids, yeah, definitely it would be a larger number that would require. But I think considering the staffing that we might have, maybe to start with, can start small, 50, then maybe go 100, and maybe go 200. I think we need just to start small and then build from there going forward. The other thing which other schools have, which other churches have done, before even doing, like filing in the paperwork and everything, is provide education, but those churches cannot be like examination centers. It will mean when the kid reaches 7th grade or 9th grade, they can't take examinations from that very learning place because it is not registered or recognized by the government. So what that would mean is sending the kids to some established school where they can carry out those exams. Until, you know, we reach a level where we have registered eventually and we have a certificate to operate, you know, those are the two ways. You either wait until you register or you start and then register later, except we cannot provide, you know, examinations to the children. Yes. And also books. There's just a number of things that might require for us to, you know, to commence with Christian school.
There seems to be a timeline for that sort of registration to be completed with the government. Is that a 2-year process, 10 years, what?
I think from the get-go, if we're to start, say, next year, it might take a year. It might even take 2 years. These government-run institutions can be tricky. Can be tricky. Yeah. All right. I think there are no more questions.
Greg, well, would you lead us in prayer?
Sure. Father, we do thank you for this hour. We do thank you again for your providence and even how many of these ties begun with the Williamson family moving to Zambia and Katrin shortly following thereafter. We do thank you for how you've bound all these hearts together, that you've brought together the Kombe family and put it on their hearts to go out into the rural parts of their nation and to serve in an area that is more difficult and has a tremendous physical need and spiritual need. Lord, we do pray that you would keep them safe. We do pray that all these desires on their heart to serve and to evangelize, that you would give them both the capacity and the finances and the continued strength to go forward with those things. We do pray for the vast number of children that are in this town that lack parental guidance, that lack more than one parent, Lord, that have tremendous health needs and have no education, Lord, that you might allow them to serve in a way that both meets those needs, but more importantly provides them the gospel and gives them the hope that can come with salvation. We do pray that you would watch over them in this time away, that both the church would be strengthened while Sydney's gone, but that Katrin and Sydney and their family would also be strengthened and be ready to return to their home here soon. And we do pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.